All right. So welcome everyone to the August 18th meeting of the Judicial Branch Budget Committee. As of a reminder before we start, and I am a little tardy, I apologize today. My calendar's very long. This meeting is open to the public and is being recorded. The meeting is being conducted virtually, and members of the public can watch via a listen-only video feed. Budget Committee members and others who may be presenting today or answering questions, please remember to unmute yourself prior to speaking. To minimize background noise, please mute yourself when not speaking. Also, please identify yourself prior to speaking for the recording. Ms. Cowan, will you please take roll?
Yes, Judge Mormon.
Present.
Yamasaki. I don't think he's available today. Justice Fujisaki. Justice, we did not hear a response. I know you're on. If you're on, it's star six to unmute yourself.
Oh, yeah, I see her. I think there she is.
I'm here.
Thank you. Justice Hill.
Here.
Thank you. Judge Armendariz.
Here.
Judge Botke.
I'm here.
Judge Crompton.
Afternoon, everybody.
Thank you. Judge Hernandez was not going to make it. And Ms. Speaker wasn't going to make it either. So, Judge Mormon, we do have a quorum.
All right, excellent. Thank you. All right, our first item is the approval of the minutes from July 17th. They are at pages three of your materials. If there's been someone who's reviewed them and is prepared to make a motion, I'll entertain it.
I'll move.
Judge Armendariz, I believe, moved.
Yes.
Thank you. So we have a motion and second. Any opposition? Any abstentions? All right, the motion is deemed approved. Thank you. And Ms. Cowan, I don't believe we received any public comment for this meeting. Is that right?
No, we did not.
All right, great. So that concludes the public comment portion of the meeting. Today we are considering current year allocations for three important programs. You all know that we deferred on these for different reasons. But the programs are the Court-Appointed Juvenile Dependency Council, the allocations for pretrial services, and funding for the trial courts to implement Proposition 36. The recommendations that you will hear about today were presented and considered by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee at its August 11th meeting. I want to thank each of you for convening for this meeting really short on short notice. It's important that we get these allocations addressed and the money distributed to the trial courts as soon as possible. As you know, usually allocations for the upcoming fiscal year, which we're now in, are vetted during the spring and final recommendation during the spring, and final recommendations are considered by the Judicial Council at its July business meeting. As you know, the budget process for 25-26 was a bit unusual due to the state's fiscal deficit and some priorities that were negotiated by the governor and the legislature. As a result, some issues were finalized late in the budget process and not in time for consideration during our spring meetings. We'll now consider these items, and they are action items today. So the first is the Court-Appointed Juvenile Dependency Council allocations for the current fiscal year 25-26. And we have Judge Conklin, our chair of TCBAC, present, with Audrey Fancy, I think, is present, and Kelly Malib. Hi, Kelly. Judge Conklin.
Judge Mormon, thank you, and thank you all. I'll keep my comments brief because mine's simply going to be a conduit for this information. As Judge Mormon has summarized it all, I do remind you, especially on the first matter, the Court-Appointed Dependency Council, you've all seen this before. You've actually approved it. It was pulled from the council budget for some corrections that were necessary. Those have now been made. Each of these items have been thoroughly vetted through TCBAC, but obviously we're available for any questions. So turning to the first item, which is the Court-Appointed Dependency Council, Deidre, I'm going to turn it over to you. Do we have you?
Judge Conklin, this is
I think it's Kelly.
Oh, Kelly, I'm sorry. I went too far in my notes. Sorry, Kelly. Kelly's like, what happened to me?
No
Sorry.
worries.
I apologize, Kelly. See, I'm already messing it up. It's already to you, Kelly. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Judge Conklin, Judge Mormon, and members of the committee. I'm Kelly Milibe, supervising analyst with the Center for Families, Children, and the Courts. And for your consideration today, our allocation options for the court-appointed Juvenile Dependency Council funding for fiscal year 25-26. As detailed in the report beginning on page 4 of the materials, the current methodology for small courts approved by the Judicial Council specifies adjustments for small courts based on caseload and the local economic index and provides that no small court receives more than 100% of their total need. As you are aware, the initial allocations considered by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee at its meeting on May 7th included a calculation error in the application of the 100% limit for small courts. After this error was brought to our attention, staff made corrections using the correct methodology, which resulted in the reallocation of $438,000 among the trial courts. The revised allocations were then considered and approved by this committee at its meeting on May 16th, 2025. The recalculation of the allocations did result in funding decreases for 16 small courts. And because of the significant impact on some of those courts, the allocations for this fiscal year were withdrawn from the Judicial Council's July meeting agenda. The annual budget for Court-Appointed Juvenile Dependency Council is $186.7 million, and per the Budget Act, shall be allocated by the Judicial Council using the methodology customarily used to distribute statewide Court-Appointed Dependency Council funding. The key factors in the current methodology approved by the council are for each court, a 3-year rolling average of original dependency filings, a 3-year rolling average of the number of children in foster care, current county council salaries at the median of the first two salary ranges reported by counties, and the current Bureau of Labor Statistics Index. The funding methodology also includes several adjustments for small courts to ensure that small courts have adequate funding. The small court adjustments include adjusting the local economic index for the small courts with dependency caseloads under 400 and reducing the funding allocations for all large courts to offset the costs. The methodology also provides that if the impact of these adjustments results in a small court being allocated more than 100% of their funding need calculated through the methodology, the court will receive an allocation equal to 100% of their need. We are now presenting for your consideration the allocation options recommended by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee at its meeting on August 11th, 2025. The materials detail options to allocate the funding for fiscal year 25-26 to address the concerns and needs of the courts that were significantly impacted due to the correction. Proposed options raised by trial courts or stakeholders are presented for your awareness and consideration, though some of the options are not viable due to restrictions on the funds. The recommendation for fiscal year 25-26 is to allocate the funding to the allocate the funding according to the existing Court-Appointed Juvenile Dependency Council funding methodology approved by the council. The proposed allocations are detailed in Attachment 1A on page 9 of the materials. Allocate the fiscal year 25-26 funds identified by courts through a spending plan survey of all courts that was conducted to determine whether any courts did not intend to spend their full allocation and to make those funds available to assist small courts in adjusting to the reductions they face in this fiscal year. Concurrent to base allocations, allocate the available funds to impacted small courts that require assistance up to the proposed allocation approved by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee on May 7th, 2025, with any remaining funds to be allocated to all eligible courts through the regular mid-year reallocation process. The proposed allocations based on the spending plan survey results are detailed in Attachment A, Column M. And to revisit the Court-Appointed Juvenile Dependency Council funding methodology in fiscal year 25-26 in its entirety, with an emphasis on trial court adjustments, adding an additional item to the Funding Methodology Subcommittee's fiscal year 25-26 work plan to consider a revised methodology for an appropriate and effective way to address unique challenges faced by trial courts. As detailed in the report on page 7, the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee considered alternative options for the allocation of funding, which were raised by the trial courts or stakeholders, including delaying the correction of the identified calculation error not previously applied until fiscal year 26-27 to give the impacted courts time to prepare and minimize destabilization of their court-appointed counsel programs. However, the committee did determine that it would be inappropriate to allocate the funding inaccurately. In addition, the error impacts funding for large courts that would fund the small court adjustments. The committee also considered utilizing all or a portion of the $100,000 in small court reserve funding included in the annual budget to assist small courts that experience sudden caseload increases to fund the impacted small courts. However, the committee determined that this option was not a recommended solution to fund the impacted courts, as the reserve funding is insufficient to meet the current need and may preclude access to these funds should a court experience sudden caseload increases or unusually complex cases. The committee also considered utilizing other funding sources, including both the Juvenile Dependency Counsel Collections Program and federally funded dependency representation program funds and unspent funding from prior years to address funding needs, but determined that these options are not viable because of restrictions on the funds. And that will conclude our presentation, and I am happy to answer questions at this time.
Kelly, thanks so much. So she did a great job summarizing, and just to maybe even generalize even more, take back actions from last week. We're asking you to essentially approve what you've already approved, the allegations made back prior, and then to mitigate, if not eliminate, that impact on those small courts. A survey is going out, which actually has already happened. And we're very confident, Kelly can confirm this if there's questions, that impact will be mitigated, if not eliminated, based upon the money that will be returned from those courts not using all their funds. And then finally, FMS is already at work addressing this issue for its 25-26 fiscal year. So that's a generalization of the detail Kelly gave. And Judge Mormon, I'll turn it back to you before the next two items.
Okay, and I just wanna also, a footnote to this is that at the last Judicial Council meeting, the council adopted a BCP to ask for funding for a study we need funding. We don't know if the BCP will be granted for the next fiscal year for a study to revisit sort of the base formulaic measures for allocations of dependency counsel. So all of this kind of works together. And I do want to say it's historically been very common, if not always every year, some courts returned money. This year, before TICFAC considered it and before we brought it to this committee, we just did this survey that was mentioned to make sure that, nothing's guaranteed, but as close to a guarantee as we have that there will be courts returning money, which has happened in the past virtually every year. So those are my 2 cents. Does anybody have any questions, or is there a motion to approve? I don't see any hands for questions. Justice Fujisaki have moved to approve.
Second, Hill.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Are there any further comments or questions? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposition or abstentions? Hearing none, the recommendation passes. Thank you very much, Kelly. Thank you, Judge Conklin. We'll move to our second item today, which is the pretrial release program allocations for the current fiscal year. This action has documentation at pages 11 through 20. And I think there's Deirdre Benedict joining us today. Judge Conklin, I'll turn it over to you.
And I'll turn it right over to Deirdre, even though I turned the first item over to her. Now I'll turn the second item over to her, as summarized by Judge Mormon. Deirdre.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. You gave me a minor heart attack earlier.
Enough of those.
Dependency, so thank you. And thank you, Judge Mormon and members of the Judicial Branch Budget Committee. I'm thrilled to be here today to talk about the pretrial release program and the allocations for 25-26. The pretrial release program has been in existence since 2021, and the funding is appropriated for the implementation and operation of ongoing court programs and practices that promote the fair, efficient, safe, and timely pretrial release of individuals booked into jail. According to the legislature, the Judicial Council is required to distribute the funding to all courts based on each county's relative proportion of the state's population that is 18 to 25 years of age. Each trial court may retain up to 30% of the funding for their county, and then must contract with pretrial services and for pretrial services, which is usually the probation department, except in isolated instances. The Budget Act of 2025 appropriates $63.95 million for 25-26, which is a $5 million reduction from past year's allocations. This equates to an approximately 7.25% cut across the board. So we have presented that to you. In table 2A shows the total amount of allocations based on this model. In previous years, we have also brought forth a staff recommended funding floor for small and small medium courts. We have again recommended that and imposed the same cut to those funding floors. So each of the funding floor courts would also receive a 7.25% decrease. And that was approved by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. There are two new provisions in the legislation this year. One is that a portion of the funds are designated for a longer period of time and they have a longer spending authority. Approximately $48.95 million of the $63.95 million is regular funding, which we refer to as base and is used within that fiscal year. But there is $15 million, which is referred to as rollover funding, which includes this year a longer shelf life. And those funds can be used up through June 30th, 2028. So you'll find tab A, 2A is the total allocations. 2B is the base allocations and 2C is the rollover allocations. So we ask for your approval of those recommendations. The other change in the legislation is it authorizes the Judicial Council to reallocate funds within the year. And so staff has brought a recommendation, which was approved by TCBAC, that staff will monitor spending and will consult with the courts in mid-year and come back to the funding subcommittee within TCBAC with recommendations for funding that may be available to reallocate and those courts that are asking for it. And that we will develop some methodology options for the funding subcommittee to review. And I think that about covers it.
It does.
So I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thanks so much, Deidre and Judge Mormon. I'll turn it back to you. There's nothing more to say. Deidre was very thorough, and I'll turn it back.
Okay, thank you. And again, you know, in my introductory remarks, one of the reasons why we couldn't deal with this in the spring is because the final budget on this issue did change because of negotiations with the governor, between the governor and the legislature. So sort of why it's before us now and before TCBAC. Any questions or comments or a motion?
This is Justice Fujisaki. I do have a question.
Go ahead.
And I don't know, it might, so this is a question kind of going back to the very, my understanding is from listening to the presentation is that the overall, I guess, allocation, funding allocation was based on populations of the county. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, that's correct, Justice.
Okay, I'm just curious, how is that determined? Is that from like census information, or is that people, you know, like court kind of collected information about what, you know, what populations show up at the court? I'm just curious.
Yeah, and thank you for the question. And I believe we have it footnoted in the chart, but we do use U.S. Census information and California Department of Finance information. There's a little bit of discrepancy in that the language in the legislation calls for up to 25, and the age break for the Department of Finance is up to 24, but that is what we are currently and have used since the beginning of the program.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm in a car, so that connection was breaking up. But here's a question then. So in terms of, you know, it's not happening now, but we've heard in the media, I guess, that the way that census information and what qualifies as population is going to be maybe going to be changing in the future. So is that, I guess, that'll affect future allocations?
Yes, and I am sure it will, probably to other programs within the branch that are based on population. So yes, we will be monitoring that, and we'll probably, if there are changes, bring that to the funding subcommittee of TICVAC to begin with, to propose any changes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Sure, you're welcome.
It wouldn't surprise me if we see some movement in that area. There have been, at least I know Judge Fujisaki mentioned the media. I've read it in the media. I've also, you know, probation is our partner in pretrial release. And I think there's going to be a lot of discussion about the formulaic basis for the funding and the overall funding for the programs. So thank you for the question. Are there any other questions? If not, is there a motion?
Probably moves.
Thank you, Charlie. Judge Crump, I'm sorry. Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Fujisaki second.
Okay. Just Fujisaki and Judge Amandaris both seconded. All those in favor say aye, please. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, hearing none, the motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Deidre. And we'll turn to our last item for today, which are recommended allocations for the current fiscal year for the implementation of Prop 36 in the trial courts. And the background information appears at pages 21 through 33 of your materials. Judge Conklin and I think Francine, our expert, is going to join us. Hi, Francine. Go ahead, Judge Conklin.
Yes, I'll turn it over to the expert. I will remind everybody that, like the other two items, these have been thoroughly vetted through FMS and TICPAC at its meeting just last week, recognizing the need to expedite this to get it out. With that, Francine, here come the details. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi. Thank you, Judge Conklin and Judge Foreman. Excuse me, I'm fighting a little something off, so my voice is a little weak. Thank you for allowing me to come here today. We are asking for your consideration of fiscal year 25-26 allocations to the trial courts for the implementation of Proposition 36. The Budget Act of 2025 appropriated $20 million to the Judicial Council, of which $19 million shall be distributed to the trial courts to support the increased workload and expansion of existing collaborative courts or establishing new collaborative courts for the purpose of Proposition 36. The Budget Act requires that at least half of the funding is to be allocated to the trial courts based on each trial court's share of non-traffic misdemeanor and felony filings from the year 2023-24. And the methodology for allocating the remaining 50% of the funding may be determined by the Judicial Council. Staff conducted a survey on May 22, 2025 to gather data on the Proposition 36 filings, specifically Penal Code Section 666.1 and Health and Safety Code Section 11395. The data collected in the survey reflects filings received between December 18, 2024 through April 30, 2025. Currently, 56 counties submitted data, so this is slightly different than your materials. They were due in advance. So we have 56 counties that submitted data, and there are two counties that did not, but they are smaller counties that will not impact and will have a very small impact on the overall allocation. It is very difficult to predict the workload, of course, of Prop. Associated with Proposition 36, the implementation was done very differently in every county. Some of the counties decided to lean a little harder into the theft cases, the 666.1s, whereas others were more interested in the 11395, the drug cases. Some DAs started very quickly and just submitted many filings, whereas others had a much more measured approach. We are noting, though, that month to month, the number of filings does seem to be increasing. There are currently slightly more drug filings, but that seems to be changing a little bit more as time goes on. The TCFAC did consider all of the several different funding methodologies, including only using non-traffic misdemeanor and felony filings by itself without the Prop 36 filings, or using a smaller portion of filings, such as 75% of the traffic non-traffic misdemeanor and felony filings, and only 25% Prop 36. But ultimately, after discussion, it was decided that there was enough workload associated with Proposition 36, despite the many unknown pieces that are in the future, that they wanted to use a 50-50% split. And that's what you have here on in Table 3D. And that's the end of my presentation. Oh, I forgot to fail to mention that this this funding is good for 3 years. It's currently one-time funding, good for 3 years at this point.
Francine, thanks so much. Judge Mormon, I'll turn it back to you.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Comments? Prop 36? Another round of Prop 36. Okay. Is there a motion or questions? All right, I'll take the benefit. I'll be the chair. I'll move approval.
Crompton seconds.
Thank you, Charlie, Judge Crompton. So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposition or abstentions? All right, hearing none. Thank you. I feel like we all talked really fast, but the materials were super great. I appreciate everybody being on time and having been prepared. Our next meeting is scheduled for September 4th from 4 to 5. It'll also be virtual to address some matters that need to be addressed straight away. These three matters that are on our agenda, you will see as council members, they are going to be voted on out of cycle by council in the form of an email vote that will get organized here pretty quick. So the allocations, so our recommendations and TCFAC's recommendations can be addressed by the full council without waiting to the next meeting. Angela, anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Anything else for the good of the order? Happy Monday. Karen, drive safely wherever you're going. Everybody, drive safely wherever you're going. And I'll see you soon.
Thank you. Oh.
Yes. Oh, you lost her.
I think this might, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Anne?
Yeah.
I think this might be my last budget committee meeting. So thank
you. Oh, you're not going to join us on
September.
You're not going to join us on September 4th?
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, no.
I don't have my calendar in front of me, and I just know that the meetings are running out soon. So
yeah, no, we're having
virtual. I will be with you.
Virtual ice cream on September 4th. So everybody, be sure to attend.
All right. Well, I am on the road, and I am now at a gas station gassing up. So I will talk to you maybe on Friday, right?
Yeah, I've got a call with you on Thursday.
Thursday. Okay, right.
See you soon.
All right.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Take care.